πατακί, άρε πατακί.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom, traveling to a few parts of the country. I'm in Amethi in Uttar Pradesh now. This is where the BJP has fielded Smriti Irani. She'd won over here last time. She is very much a star candidate in these elections. Rahul Gandhi, many people thought that this was once a Congress pocket borough, would be contesting this time around, but that is not the case. I've been travelling to various parts of this constituency, going to Nukkar Sabhas as well, to get a feel of what Smriti Irani and her politics are all about. Thanks very much for being with us. You know, I was at that wonderful Nukkar Sabha of yours today, and what I really liked was the fact that, 99.9% of people were women. Now, you got angry last time I asked you, and I said that, but they are a political constituency. But you make a lot of sense when you say that that's not the case. They aren't just there for politics. Tell us how that is the case.
I think that the collective of women that you saw today are affected people, affected by changes in the development pattern, affected by the fact that today close to 1,14,000 families have a home. They are mindful of the fact that in the 5 years that I have worked as an MP here, 2 years were spent in tackling corona. They are mindful of the fact that today in the past 5 years, when we look back and see the number of households who never had a toilet, that was close to 4 lakh households now. And if there's a family size of around 4 per household, that means that in a constituency which has roughly a population of 23 to 24 lakhs, that's 16 lakh people who did not have a toilet facility, who were defecating in the open. Now, it is something that people like us take it for granted that we'll have access to basic amenities. Ask any woman, especially in poorer communities, to defecate in the open means being open to sexual assaults, to animal bite, to bad health. So for them, this is 5 years of life-changing circumstances, and that's why you saw a large contingent of women there.
You approach your politics through the prism of health and women's and children's development. It's
families,
what you do as a job, but it's also something that is how you approach your politics. Has that always been the case?
We, and it's not only me, but we approach it as community work.
Right.
So if we are building 1,14,000 homes and building toilets for 4 lakh individual households, we are also ensuring Jal Jeevan Mission reaches 3.5 lakh households in this constituency. 1.5 lakh families never had an electricity connection. Now, this is not one of those run-of-the-mill constituencies. This constituency boasted of the influence of the Gandhi family, the so-called first family of Indian politics. So one wonders why in a population size of 2.3 million were 1.6 million defecating in the open. One wonders why 1.5 lakh families never had an electricity connection, while the Gandhi family was never in want of it. I think it is also something which is now popularly being discussed here. There have been projects which have been demanded for 30 years, never fulfilled. We could build those bypasses, connect Amethi to an expressway, build a trauma center here. That being said, there are certain basic administrative infrastructural units that we are building here. The chief medical office, officer's office, the collectorate, the police line, the first dialysis center, the first CT scan machine of Amethi. Many people don't realize that we are building this whole place from scratch. And that is something that the Congress party cannot deny. Why is it that the so-called bastion of the Congress party was lacking in also basic administrative infrastructure? And I say this because they had the government at the center. They had a friendly government in the state. So it's not as if they lacked support at the center or in the state. They had both. What was missing was the intent of the member of parliament, who could have been a bridge between the two.
Now, you were speaking about the Gandhis. Rahul Gandhi chose not to contest over here. Had he been here, would your job, your task, been tougher?
No.
Do you believe that after the last time
it was tougher for him, that's why he chose not to fight.
And so you're now facing somebody...
I've been asking for that fight for now a good 4 months. Because I was very clear that we have worked on the ground. And there's a stark comparison between my work of 5 years and his absence of 15 years as MP. And it would become difficult for the family on every crossroad of this constituency to give an explanation.
Yeah. One of the points that have been raised is that no matter how strong you have been over here, incumbency is a factor. It is a factor everywhere. Is that a concern for you, or do you believe that?
No, I think I'm fighting in a constituency which has seen 15 years of the absence of Rahul Gandhi.
Right.
This is not a constituency that is very enamored by the siblings.
Yeah.
And we had both the siblings tested even in 2024 in the Vidhan Sabha elections, where of the five assembly constituency, they lost their deposit in four. Mm. And the fifth, they lost to the BJP again. So I recognize that there are sections of the media that are very charmed by them. Mm-hmm. And I also recognize that they have... I fight the Congress ecosystem. I don't fight one candidate. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that you've noticed that the Congress party has assigned a chief minister to this particular constituency after declaring through their communication head that I had no aukat, which is very... weird, क्योंकि अगर मेरी औकात नहीं थी तो यहाँ पर गांधी परिवार को नुक्कड़ नुक्कड़ सभा करने की जरूरत नहीं पड़ती.
I must ask you, you know, just looking at the larger elections themselves.
हाँ जी.
One of the points which have been mentioned is last time around there was Pulwama, Balakot, there was a narrative. It went not just with the Modi factor, but also as issues associated with that, and something the Prime Minister spoke about extensively. That's not here this time around. Is this therefore a more traditional election? People voting on development, caste.
I think that what are people voting for? They are voting for an assured platform for development.
Right.
They are voting for assured governance structures that ensure financial stability, that ensure that the public social system is something which is transparently leveraged by the government, especially the DBT systems that the Prime Minister has professed and also actioned on ground. I think that also holds a lot of merit.
Yeah.
If I talk about only Amethi, I think that the comparison is not only stark for Amethi, but we've had four legs of voting till now. The opposition, so-called, which is today fragmented across many verticals, has not yet in this election, one, announced its own prime ministerial candidate, two, announced its economic agenda, three, announced its social agenda, four, announced its international agenda. So this is an election where, while the prime minister after 10 years of being proactively in office and after describing to detail on every facet of development what he hopes to deliver on in the next 5 years, is now confronted with an absentee opposition, an absentee prime ministerial candidate, and an absentee framework.
The Ram Mandir issue. Many felt
Ram Mandir is not an issue.
Well, no, correct. But raising it during the political campaign, the election campaign, I know it's not an issue.
It is not an issue. It's a part of ethos.
Or the constitution, the entire debate on changing the constitution.
It's a part of our ethos. It's a part of our way of life.
Yeah, sure.
And insofar as my point,
Smriti ji, is that it just doesn't seem to be an election issue.
But that's what the Prime Minister said. Aastha ka vishay hai, election ka nahi.
So it doesn't come up because we've associated
it's
the BJP for so
long. It's a promise that we've made.
With a promise.
But we made the promise within the maryada of the Supreme Court verdict.
Sure.
And after having overwhelming majority, even then the Prime Minister incessantly said on every public fora that we will wait for the Supreme Court verdict and honor it. And we did. So I think that in terms of judging us on electoral promises, this was a promise of constitutional discipline and adherence to norms or framework set by the Supreme Court of India, which we complied with.
Yeah.
So I think when the Prime Minister speaks about the Ram Mandir, or any BJP member speaks about the Ram Mandir, from the context of respecting the Supreme Court judgment, weren't we right? We were. Did we not comply? We did.
Yeah.
Did we not show patience? We did. And this is after having an overwhelming majority, still waiting to ensure that the constitutional structure as such to ensure justice is in no way damaged.
What about job creation? Again, there are those who say that the macro level numbers are fantastic for India.
So let me give you the micro effect.
That was my question.
This is a constituency which in 15 years of Rahul Gandhi's absentee MPs has seen a shutdown of close to 499 factories.
Yeah.
Today, in 5 years,
yeah.
and this can be substantiated by bank statements, mm-hmm. and this can also be substantiated by numbers from the Department of mm-hmm. Financial Services, apart from the Department of MSME,
yeah.
we have now 13,000 MSMEs in Amethi,
mm-hmm.
registered with the government.
Mm.
Asia's largest Coca-Cola bottling plant is in Amethi. Uttar Pradesh's largest poultry mm-hmm. and feedstock plant is now in Amethi.
Yeah.
We also have given Swanidhi, which is for the street hawkers,
yes.
loans to up to 5,200 people across this one constituency. Mudra loans to around 1 lakh people only in this constituency. And our NPA is less than 2.5%.
Yeah.
The total credit for agriculture and MSME, and especially SMEs in Amethi,
yeah.
in the past 3 years has been 7,800 crores.
Yeah.
So if you talk about fiscal discipline at the micro level, my district as such, my constituency, I think is one of the best exemplars in terms of what the Prime Minister says in from a microscopic perspective of financial well-being for society.
Yeah.
Now contrast that, Vishnu, with the fact mm-hmm. that in, like I said, a 2.3, 2.4 million population in this constituency, with a 5-decade reign, so-called, of the Gandhi family, 19 lakh people are getting ration from Prime Minister Modi's yeah. Government,
yeah.
which means that there has been an intergenerational poverty challenge
yeah.
that we've been fighting. And in the past 5 years, the fact, and I distinctly remember my conversation with the bankers here in the district,
yeah.
I was particularly fascinated by the fact that our fiscal discipline is such that our NPA is around 2.5%,
sure.
which means that people took credit, they serviced the credit, they
I'm
paid it back.
I'm fascinated by the way you remember these numbers. It's
That's
quite
why
something.
Maybe I'm called Smriti.
Just one or two more questions. Since you do, you as a minister, you've been Women and Child Development Minister, there's a horrific series of rapes which have been reported in Karnataka. The entire Prajwal Rivanna case is something which is, it's ghastly. Do you not believe more should be done by the
That's
center
exactly
to bring him back?
Why
has that passport not been
cancelled? We know that law and order is a state subject. And insofar as the ministry goes, the National Commission for Women falls under the aegis in terms of the symbiotic relationship between the commission and the ministry.
Yeah.
The commission itself, and given that right now elections are underway, I am constrained to pass an official order because of Achar Sanhita.
Hmm.
The National Commission for Women has given a notice to the state government, given that law and order is a responsibility of the state to ensure not only speedy justice, but also bring facts to the fore.
So you would like him to be brought back?
I think not only me, the entire BJP leadership, including the Home Minister, has been more than vehement on this issue.
Just two more questions. You know, earlier in the year, you were a part of our Samat by Hyundai campaign.
Yes.
That looks at the theme of inclusivity.
Yes.
People who are differently abled. And one of the most wonderful parts of what the government has done is the Anganwadi protocol that
yes.
deals, that works for children. I see no reason not to discuss this. And give it, you know, less significance than everything else in all the politics.
In my constituency alone, close to 90,000 women have received a direct cash benefit from the Prime Minister's program for maternal health.
Right.
And that's not a small number.
No, it's huge.
90,000 women for reproductive health and maternity health
yeah.
Have received that support only
yeah.
as a cash transfer, mm-hmm. 5 to 6,000 rupees in their bank accounts. Apart from that, the protocol that we've set for early mm-hmm. identification of children with different physical or mental needs, I think that this is the first such attempt in independent India to ensure that we identify at a very early stage and help bring comfort to even family members that need to look after such children.
Yeah.
So that the burden that they feel societally
yeah.
of shame
yeah.
Can be reduced at the onset itself
yeah.
and making it a community effort.
Sure.
So this is something that is a collaborative attempt between us, Ministry of Health and Ministry of Social Justice. We are already in collaboration mm-hmm. with states, helping it percolate to individual Anganwadis.
Sure.
And yes, it's something that I discuss almost in every constituency, not only mine. But like I said, this possibly is the first time that I'm saying on camera that I've had 90,000 women beneficiaries of only the Prime Minister's cash transfer scheme, only for reproductive and maternal health, only in Amethi.
Last question. The importance of having people with disabilities more involved in policy and decision making, whether as politicians or otherwise. How is that something that any government that comes to power must prioritize?
I think Prime Minister Modi has led from the front on this issue by not only collaborating with people with disabilities, we call them Divyang,
yeah,
but also ensuring that those that we call abled and who have worked in the sector, mm-hmm, also through their experience can participate in how to fine-tune policies. Identification early of disabilities and identification of resources which are community-based for families to deal with day-to-day challenges,
yeah,
is something that was introduced in the WCD after much thought of conversation, reflection with professionals,
right,
and government officials who worked in this field, even retired officials.
Yeah.
So this is something where government and community comes together and works. And like I said, Prime Minister Modi has led from the front on it. It's not an electoral issue for him. It's a human issue for
Absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for speaking to us. Good luck. You're off now. Where? You're off to...
I'm going to a Vidhan Sabha called Salon,
right,
which is interestingly,
how far is that?
That's another 40-minute drive.
And how
from
long
home.
Have you been driving around every day? About two or three?
So in the past 20 days, I've done close to 325 meetings.
Wow. And you focus on Nukkad Sabhas, right?
Smaller, I go to every gram panchayat. So.
And you were telling me you stop on the road as well and just talk to people whenever you feel like.
Yes.
And
this
that's,
is
so
home.
That is... And this is your new home in Amethi. It's lovely. Super. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And all the best.